I think there's a lot of people out there that you see that are just walking the trails, hiking, taking their dogs or their family out. And that's a really big part of it. You know, you don't have to be necessarily involved in a sport or activity to enjoy the, you know, the work that ORC is doing. It could really be anybody.
The Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 189 of Life in Motion. I've got Hannah, Michelle, and David with me from Ozark Off-Road Cyclist. They're all about advocating for, building, maintaining, and preserving sustainable multi-use soft surface trails in the Arkansas area. I'm excited to hear their story and how they're getting others on trails. Everyone, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. I'm excited to have you on. We got a full house today, which is awesome. So lots of different insights. Before we kind of get into, you know, what you all are doing for the trail mountain bike community in that sense, let's kind of start off with a little bit of a, you know, a background on each of you, kind of how you got, kind of in involved in the first place. And then we can kind of use that to build into Ozark Off-Road Cyclist. So Michelle, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I'm definitely more like a recent cyclist in life. I kind of, I would say, bought a road bike maybe sort of spur of the moment, maybe 4 years ago or a little less. My dad used to do a lot of road riding. And sort of after I graduated college and started working, I was looking for something and started with road cycling. I was lucky enough to move to Texas a little bit after I started and actually joined a group that mainly did gravel and mountain biking. And eventually they managed to convince me to spend the money and get started in mountain biking. So I spent about a year in Texas kind of learning, getting to kind of learn a lot of the basics and started doing a little bit more endurance type work. And you know, sort of life-wise, decided I needed to look for a different job. I have a good friend that is really in touch with Bentonville, I would say. His sort of hobbies include mountain biking and airplanes, and that's two of the things that Bentonville is really well known for. So he sort of encouraged me to find a job in the area, and, you know, obviously that happened and everything worked out really great. So but I guess maybe a year and a half ago, not even, I moved to Bentonville and sort of jumped in with ORC right away. So that's kind of how I got in touch with the group. And it's been really great since I moved here. Definitely improved my mountain biking quite a bit with the access to all the trails.
That's awesome. It's cool kind of how you kind of recently got into it and kind of, you know, dove headfirst. And I'm actually in Springfield, Missouri, so not too far north of you all. But yeah, I know that whole area is really awesome for mountain bike and everything. So Hannah, how about yourself?
I was I'm the kind of outlier in the group, and that I have a mountain bike now, but that's also just a recent acquisition. And I actually come to it from the perspective of trail running and being a trail user in that capacity. And it was just a little bit over a year ago that I went to my first trail work day that OORC was putting on, which they do almost every weekend at different trails around Northwest Arkansas. And from there, I started talking to some of the folks in the group and finding out more about the work that they do, and that it's not just exclusively about being a mountain biker and promoting that as your sole activity on the trails. And so I kept going to trail work days. And from eventually, you know, there, they needed some assistance that I could provide through my, you know, outside skill set outside of trail running. And, you know, the conversation was had that maybe we need to bring in some of these other trail user perspectives. And they asked me if I would like to assist with that. And that's really where it's gone from there. And so I'm excited to do more of the mountain biking piece of it. But for me, it's always been really about what the organization does to support trail users of all kinds and how awesome the people in the organization are as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And the kind of the diversity of use within that, and the organization, obviously kind of recognizing that and bringing somebody that's kind of honed in on that. And you know, I'm sure no time you'll get the mountain bike skills down and be converted maybe, but
here's hoping. Still pretty scary.
That's cool. That's cool though. And then David, how about you?
Well, I started mountain biking. Actually, I guess I'm the old pro here. Not really. I'm not that great. I actually bought my first mountain bike back in 2002. A friend of mine was into mountain biking and said, "Hey, you need to go buy a bike and we'll go ride." And I did. And back then, I think the only public trails really was a little bit out at the state park at Hobbs, Devil's Den, and West Fork, south of Fayetteville, where mountain biking kind of began for Arkansas. And around Lake Fayetteville, they had a 5 mile, 4.5, 5 mile loop. And so those were the three places you could ride. I kind of got out of it for a little while. You know, life gets in the way, priorities change a little bit. Came back to it about 6, maybe 7 years ago now. And that's when I found the Ozark Off-Road Cyclists and met up with them and was interested in the trail work days and giving back, finding another way to give back to the community. So that's what originally got me involved with ORC.
That's cool too. And you know, it kind of hooks you on it. I'm kind of on the background of smaller wheels. So I grew up riding BMX bikes and kind of much as you just explained, David, kind of in that transition where life changes, kids, all that other stuff kind of transitions. So now I'm trying to get them on bikes and stuff as well. But it's cool that, you know, to know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, kind of bring it all circle around as well. One of these days I'll upgrade to a mountain bike. Once I find a little more coin in my pocket, but, but that's awesome. So obviously you all kind of found, you know, Arkansas, in that area of Arkansas is kind of really kind of blossomed over, you know, the past couple of years or so, kind of as, you know, kind of that, you know, mountain bike area kind of mecca almost, you know, so there's a lot of going on, a lot of organizations, a lot of business supports and that kind of stuff. And you all kind of had different, you know, different paths to getting to Ozark Off-Road Cyclists and everything there, which is really kind of cool to see how it attracted that. But to that point, kind of what is the sort of the story or kind of like how did that, you know, become a thing, kind of the story behind the organization and kind of what like has that growth sort of looked like over the years, you know, from history and stories and whatnot that you all have heard?
You want me to take this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly happy to chime in, but you know more of the history, David.
Okay. So the ORC was originally founded back in 1997. A bunch of like-minded individuals were building some trail on some private lands and riding trails on some other lands, you know, public lands. And they wanted to, you know, help keep that going. And one of the ways that worked was they incorporated as a nonprofit to make it easier for people to donate money to do that kind of trail work. And then a few years after that, I don't know the exact date, they found that they really aligned the core mission and vision values of the organization aligned really well with the IMBA, International Mountain Biking Association. So at some point then they became a full chapter of IMBA and we get support from them that way. You know, it was all about gaining access, whether that be working with landowners to sell them on the idea of putting in a mountain bike trail, if that meant actually helping build mountain bike trails. We've done that. And then as a part of our continued effort to keep these trails available for use, we've partnered with landowners that have mountain bike trails in our area to do a lot of the maintenance for them to help keep and preserve those trails for public use.
That's awesome. And then with that, I mean, like, you know, there's the public and private kind of aspect to that. Did it sort of, you know, take time for, I guess, you know, the area in general, both in kind of those sectors in that sense, to kind of understand like the benefit that it would bring to the community and like why you're doing it in that sense, or was a lot of people sort of just kind of on board, kind of, you know, as it started and they started kind of seeing the impact that it had?
A lot of the public attention to that has come recently. Probably even honestly, within the last 5 to 10 years is when it's really become prevalent about the economic impact, the tourism impact. You know, I'm sure the core of the ORC that started it those many years ago, they probably understood and felt that could be a piece of it. But it wasn't until much later. We've had a couple of different bicycle advocacy groups in Northwest Arkansas over the years, not related to us. Some of them focus on street infrastructure. Some of them focused on hard trails. And then we were one of the groups that focused in, I guess, on the soft surface trails, the way I'm looking to say that.
Yeah. No, it's cool that, you know, that, and yeah, cause I've been in Springfield probably about 8 years now. So I remember, you know, kind of hearing that kind of stuff about what's going on down there when I started or when I moved out here. You know, it was only a couple hours away or whatnot. And then, you know, Trail Spring and some other organizations up this way with Two Rivers and some other stuff. So, you know, that gaining kind of popularity, is really awesome. So like right now, like what, I guess, you know, kind of going into sort of the nuts and bolts of things, you know, there's lots of trails, lots of volunteers. So what does that sort of look like as far as like, you know, how many volunteers, how many miles of trails, kind of, you know, what does it take to maintain something like that? That's, you know, enjoyable, not only for the rider, but for the trail runners as well. To enjoy.
There's a lot that goes into it. You know, it's partly, if we're talking about, you know, the idea of promoting new trails and kind of all the planning stages that goes into building them, that's one component. Like the newest trail that we recently finished in Fayetteville, which is called Bewitched and is south of town in an area called Kessler Mountain Park, that, you know, from the very beginning stages of the conversations with the city about it and getting kind of the plan approved and then actually the physical building of it is, you know, a 2-year or more process because of all the approvals that are involved and then just the labor itself. But it's really cool because you can see hundreds of folks come through there and, you know, make their impact on that trail that they're going to remember when they go through and use it then. And then, you know, just regular maintenance of existing trails is also kind of a constant process. And we are lucky that, you know, there's other organizations that do similar work within the area and maybe kind of take, you know, like the trails on like the northern half, like more Bentonville Rogers area, or some places like state parks that have their friends groups that will do things. But, you know, there's an entire network of like social media pages that are maintained by OORC folks where people can report trail conditions so they can have that up-to-date knowledge of people who are actually on the ground. And if there's like a tree down across a major trail, and they'll go out and respond to it as quickly as they can. So there's kind of, you know, the long range planning that goes into it. And then also that immediate reaction to things that are high priority needs.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot of, you know, inner working and maintenance and stuff. And it's, you know, obviously a lot of, you know, passion there too for the volunteers and speaking with everybody. But, you know, so with that, you know, like what, I guess obviously there's the coordinating with, you know, the different individuals, entities, that kind of thing to build and maintain and trail status and everything like that. So, you know, I'm sure you all host various kind of volunteer days and that kind of stuff. What other types of, you know, kind of programs or opportunities and stuff like that are you all doing to kind of get, you know, get others kind of involved in the space themselves that might, you know, maybe they're already living there or whatnot, but maybe not involved, or like, I guess, community outreach in a sense. Like, what are some of those kind of programs or things that you all may offer?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I could take a bit of this one. I think definitely what got me involved is sort of our weekly group rides. That's been a big part of it. So I think the ORC in general does a pretty good job of sort of building that community and making sure that everyone is welcome. So we have a couple of different level group rides, and that was super important for me personally when I moved here, was finding, you know, a space that I was welcome, and B, you know, feeling like I could, you know, have friends and also learn from the people that are in the group. So that's been a big part of that. So just kind of getting people out and involved from the writing aspect, and then Hannah already mentioned, but definitely lots of volunteer opportunities as far as trail building and maintenance. Helps quite a bit. And then of course there's sort of a segment of the organization that we host a lot of different events, so typically races or like our upcoming Buffalo Headwaters Challenge. So it's not really a race, but it's a full weekend all around, you know, cycling in general, getting people together and out there on the trails. So a couple of different aspects there. But it really involves, I think, building a community through riding and maintaining those trails.
Yeah. And then
I'll add to that.
No, you go ahead.
I'll add to that. One of the other recent developments as far as outreach to the community that we've added is with the proliferation of the NICA teams, the National Interscholastic Cycling Association. We try to go through all of the schools in Fayetteville that have a fleet of bikes. We go through and hit each school once during the school year and give them all the minor tune-ups that we're capable of doing to help keep them in good operating shape without the schools having to fork out for professional mechanics to come in and do that for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's so cool to me too that there are organizations like NICA and everything that are kind of integrating that within the school. That was not a thing where I grew up. And of course, I don't know if we're in the right area out in Virginia for that. Out on sort of on the coast, but I know it's cool to hear that. And then, you know, especially kind of, you know, the community outreach as far as, you know, helping them maintain their bikes. Cause I'm sure, you know, that helps create other connections and kind of shows, you know, those kids like, hey, you know, we're still out here doing this. This isn't just a hobby or whatnot like that, you know, kind of as they grow and kind of something to look forward to, things in the industry and whatnot, which is probably really cool and definitely build some good relationships there. And then, of course, the group ride aspect, you know, keeping that consistent, especially, you know, once a week, you know, I'm sure that's a lot of fun there. How many people would you say that typically kind of attend those group rides?
I say it varies based on the temperature outside.
That's fair.
being trail advocates, we try our very best not to ride in particularly wet conditions, because those are when you can impact the trails adversely. And so, you know, temperature is the big factor. The cold days, there might be three or four. I think I've seen as many as 30 or 35 on a nice Wow. weather day during the late spring or summer.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was funny. I was at Fellows Lake here at a local park, and they have the Dirt 66 that they're kind of working on. But I was out there looking for something else, but it was like, I swear it was like 15 or 20 degrees out, and there were still like people out on their bikes using the trails. So it's just like crazy and awesome to see kind of the dedication, even when it is super, super cold, with that. But that kind of, you know, the participation, I should say, of the group rides, kind of no matter the whether it's super cold and just like, you know, four people or, you know, those larger rides is cool, because, you know, as Michelle mentioned, you know, that kind of builds that community. And then I'm sure, you know, obviously that spawns out different relationships within the community that probably filter just outside of cycling or trail running or whatnot. And so that sounds super, super awesome and super important kind of for the growth, and probably a big contributor to that.
For sure.
Yeah. And then, so if events, you know, you mentioned one kind of coming up, and what, I guess, how many other like events do you guys typically do throughout the year? And you know, what, I guess, what do those look like as far as like getting other people, you know, is it mainly people within the area that come to visit those and attend or participate, or is it kind of from outside, you know, neighboring states or even further? Kind of what kind of interest, I guess, has that garnered?
Yeah, I'm sure David probably has more information there, but I think we do host a lot of more local races that typically will get people, you know, across Bentonville, Rogers, and Fayetteville. So across NWA, but things like that event I mentioned, so Buffalo Headwaters, we get people coming in from states sort of surrounding the area, looking to visit and kind of get the experience in that community, even though they may not live in the area. So that's pretty powerful there.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
I heard Rob mention we've got participants from 36 or 37 states.
Oh, wow.
Coming this year to Headwaters. That event's been going on now for almost 20 years. I think this is our 19th annual.
Okay.
It started as a smaller private affair, but it grew and the ORC kind of took over managing it and getting it done, getting it put on.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Go ahead.
There's also two, which was a new event last year in November, what they called the Beast of Burden, that was previously just a 6-hour bike race. And just in 2023, they expanded the event for the first time. And what they do now is the plan is, you know, to host it every year whenever daylight savings rolls over, so that it's a 24-hour, technically 25-hour when you include daylight savings time changing. And they organized it so that you could either run or bike or do both. You could do it totally solo and just see how far you can go for 25 hours, or you could do it with a team of people and kind of mix the sports together. And they did it at Kessler Mountain in Fayetteville. So again, keeping it local in the location, but there were people from multiple states, you know, really far away. It was really cool. They hung flags of all the different states that were represented. And, you know, it was over 150 people and then a whole team of volunteers, and everybody, you know, for the most part, like camped out there at the event. And it just had a really great atmosphere and energy and raised money that went directly back to these trails that we were using for this event. And it seems like everyone that I'd spoke to at least had a really positive experience from it. So another way to promote those trails and also show them really unique ways that they can be used for cool events like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Just wanted to, you know, bounce off of what Hannah said. I think that Beast of Burden race was kind of, I don't know how often exactly we do that within ORC, but I think that was a really great way to kind of combine the trail running community and the mountain biking community. I think most of the time we end up sort of separated, but that was a great way to kind of pull everyone together that really uses those trails all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of that kind of collaboration from the two groups in that sense as well. And, you know, as I mentioned, kind of everybody sort of had a different background of how, you know, they've gotten involved, you know, and sort of different reasons. But, you know, as your involvement with OORC, you know, has kind of, you know, expanded or increased or whatnot, why do you think, like, just kind of in a sense, you know, that trail advocacy is kind of so important in maintaining them, not only from kind of the recreational side of things, and then of course, you know, the competitive side with different events every so often, but, you know, just for like a community as a whole, like what kind of benefits, I guess, do you think that really brings within that area?
I mean, you know, David mentioned the economic factors that are tied to it, right? And I mean, this sounds really silly now that I'm thinking about it and all the trail work days I've been to, but I guess before I went to my first one, I just kind of assumed that there was like a city crew that took care of the trails. I never thought that it would be completely volunteer run. And in some places there are, right? But it's also just so much work, right? That the city can't manage it with all their other projects. And so having people connect with that piece and realizing that they can be a part of that, even in a small way, even if it's just showing up for an hour and helping to rake leaves off of the trail, that it doesn't take a huge part. It just takes a lot of people working together collectively. And if we consider not only the economic benefits, but, you know, the aesthetic beauty that we have of these places and maintaining them, what it means for, you know, the environment and the different ways that it helps with either like water retention in places or, you know, making sure that we have them preserved and having a space for wildlife, and, you know, the physical benefits that hopefully we're all aware of that we get from being in nature and spending that time away from kind of, you know, the stress of our everyday lives, that it's really just incalculable how valuable they are to us.
Yeah. I totally agree. You know, there's, you know, that providing that outlet, not only maintain, you know, if there's not the resources kind of within the city to do that, but to have that outlet kind of available, you know, rather than, you know, doing other activities that you might be doing, which probably also helps, you know, kind of the younger generations get into to hobbies and things like that, as well, is super important, just kind of to hit the reset button from whatever you do in your normal life, and then build friendships and relationships kind of in that way. So, you know, obviously you all have, or the organization, I should say, has been around for a while, and things have, you know, kind of progressed and grown over years and kind of added and stuff. Are there any like plans or anything that I might have missed that are coming up in the future? I might have brushed over.
I mean, probably the biggest thing, and correct me if I'm wrong here, David, right now that we're looking at is kind of our new piece of property that we have in Fayetteville, and kind of building more trails, you know, and giving people more of those spaces.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And you know, sometimes it's just things like that, and kind of holding steady in that regard, and continuing to build that community. And so to that point, sort of brings me to a question I always like to ask, you know, our guests, and, you know, kind of one piece of advice that they can take away. But in this case, you know, there's so many different, you know, benefits, you know, from the land aspect to the community, to kind of just the work-life balance, you know, kind of having that outlet. But what would you say, like, is the biggest contributor? How like can people like really hone in and build that community around something that they all enjoy, whether that be, you know, trail running or mountain biking or whatnot, to build the community, not only with each other, but also within other businesses, or other individuals within the community that might not, you know, enjoy those same things.
I mean, I think a lot of the work that ORC does is really to kind of let anyone enjoy the trail. So I think a lot of our conversation is kind of focused on, it's sort of sports and activities like trail running and mountain biking. But, I think there's a lot of people out there that you see that are just walking the trails, hiking, taking their dogs or their family out.
Yep.
And that's a really big part of it. You know, you don't have to be necessarily involved in a sport or activity to enjoy the, you know, the work that ORC is doing. It could really be anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Does anybody have anything to add to that?
No, I think that's great.
Awesome. Well, no, and I totally agree. You know, having that kind of that openness and you know, where anybody can get involved and enjoy the trails, and then ultimately, hopefully, you know, get involved with volunteering and different events and whatnot like that in the community to really kind of see the benefits. So, to that point, where can people, find you online to learn more, to, if they're there local, get involved, if maybe there's an event coming on, or the one that's coming up, they can figure out how to get involved with that as well.
Yeah. I think most of our events, you know, whether that be races or challenges or trail work days, are really all, outposted on Facebook. That's a really great way to kind of get in touch and start figuring out, you know, what exactly is going on, when, where. So that's probably my number one advice, is kind of find us on Facebook, see if there's any, you know, events that interest you, and definitely come out, help out. We are always welcoming to anybody that's willing.
Awesome. And I'll add that we do also have a website, oorc.org, and we keep the event calendar updated on that as well, and then there's links to learn a little bit more about some of the board members, see some pictures if you're not on social media. We try to make that available as another way for people to reach out to us.
Awesome. Well, everyone, definitely make sure you check them out, if you're in the area, maybe you're traveling to the area. You know, get involved, see what they're up to, because definitely some awesome stuff, and it's awesome to hear kind of the growth that you all have had and the impact within the area, that goes along with that. But I appreciate you all coming on and kind of sharing your story, and I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how it progresses in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you've made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.